Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listening-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joan Olmsted. Thank you. You may begin.
Good evening, everyone. Slide two, please.
Good evening.
I want to welcome everyone and thank you for participating in today's public meeting to gather public comments on the draft environmental impact statement for the license amendment at the UNC Church Rock mill site in Church Rock, New Mexico. The license amendment will allow the Northeast Church Rock mining waste to be disposed on the existing tailings impoundment at the UNC Church Rock mill site. My name is Joan Olmsted from the NRC's Facilitator Program. I will be serving as your facilitator for today's meeting along with Lance Rakoven. Our role is to help ensure that today's meeting is informative and productive. I would now like to introduce Joanna Manigault. She'll give the opening prayer for the meeting. She'll also be available if anyone needs a translator during our meeting, too. Joanna?
Thank you. Kwashi nachat ashlet or let for the zunbe a koko ashet ashish so the zunigabe and hahasti dole Nest Koto Nijo Jean dole, the Quenastan do Yadishis Biagi Eia, the Nieni Hodlo Quadin Dattekal. Added Odogon Hain Sando Lesti Quare Nabig Ea del Tigo Ado on Dan Hidden Air, the last lay Dan Lini Kotohata Hatzi Gipa, Big Etin Ego Con Eas of the Al Ahato Zigone Ehot Aya Yadas Tito Lesco Njonago Ehot Adi the Quare Bath, the High Lenegi D. A. Yaset Sohai Gedo on the Kaya Bakaja e Korda no Dod Neshot Nego Quay e Bahwind Zedahid Ego da e Ya Korda Hodne Bahnaz Lagi Kordan Hiddodds Nistonda Nihizadigi Beda Dolcha Kodo Adonda Koya Hissin Dail Nishok Ebelt Bestand Ego Kord a e Ya Binda Dil Nish Daddy Nego Kord and Dahigal Ada in the Aya Con as for Heshi, Ada Bodajin, Dajano called Bayada just he belad at Ego called the Beso dot Ada Con Ada on the Kobic Ido Tinsa dot Ada Con Aya Nin's clock or what Aya as for Nanishiki Kojan, Big Hadi Kati Anabi. Ado on the A, he did Ado on the Sudan Jonago big at eighteen cocoat, Aya Nahain Lad or Lady Conos, Tashmaya, Fishit Hart and Lenico. Hashin Sago Aya Compaya Tiki added Otago at Estocon. Ask for Aya Con hidden at and Leni Don, they seem to be stationed Shigi Cordo at Aya Ado Banan Ain Sons or Lesco. Kot o e ya hot on tr hai tsi o let di e ane bi ye ta chil na tin so na tin ast e go yo skas na tin lo an na tin sa I kha ki bi ye kwa as tra de don le ne is na de tr hot a e ya kwa shin hai si tra do le a de de ni tr ho jo na has ni kha a pi ya le sha la a pi ya le e a pi ya le na ho kos pi ya le Adoj eighteen do quarter to not of the sick old air. Adon that Adon of Basco does not kiss in the any court. I yasn't his sodas and hand and lad or this don't him set his court here. inhabitants chit me to inhabitants chit go hot al ken di kha me to hojanaski godishna. Okay, back to you.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome.
Slide 3, please. This is a Comet Gathering public meeting. The purpose of this meeting is for NRC staff to meet directly with individuals to receive comments from participants on a specific NRC decisions and actions to ensure that NRC staff understand their views and concerns. This meeting is also being recorded. After opening remarks, the NRC staff will provide information about the staff's environmental review and gather public comments on the draft environmental impact statement that is currently out for public comment. Normally, we have an open house before a public meeting where people can informally ask questions about the application and interact with the staff. Because of COVID restrictions, we are having virtual public meetings. The Q&A session of today's meeting provides an opportunity for you to ask questions about the application process or technical questions about the review documents. Following the Q&A session, we will gather comments on the draft environmental impact statement. The public comment period on the draft environmental impact statement ends May 27, 2021. You can provide comments during today's meeting or send in comments to the NRC after this meeting. The NRC staff presentation will tell you how to do this. Slide 4, please. I would like to introduce Kevin Coyne. He is the Deputy Division of Director of the Division of Rulemaking, Environmental and Financial Support in the Office of Nuclear Material Safety and Safeguards. Kevin will give the opening remarks for today's meeting. Kevin?
Thank you very much, Joan. Good evening and welcome to everyone. I'm Kevin Coyne, the Deputy Director for the Division of Rulemaking, Environmental, and Financial Support, which is the group responsible for the development of the draft environmental impact statement, the United Nuclear Corporation License Amendment. We regret that we cannot meet with you in person today as we continue to face the challenges of the ongoing public health emergency. I want to extend our sincere sympathy and thoughts to all those affected by the pandemic. Today, we are asking for your comments on a draft environmental impact statement, which is the result of the NRC staff's evaluation of the environmental impacts associated with United Nuclear Corporation's proposal to dispose of mine waste at the adjacent mill site. It's important to note that any comments received in this meeting forum are handled in the same manner as those comments received at an in-person meeting. Comments presented here tonight are recorded and transcribed. Staff will review and analyze them and update the final EIS report as appropriate. Comments received during this meeting will be made available in a transcript of tonight's meeting that will be posted to the NRC's project review website shortly after the meeting. As a result of feedback received during the December 2020 public webinars, we have adjusted the time and format of tonight's meeting. This will allow for a question and answer period. During that time, you can ask the staff questions on the NRC's process and draft environmental impact statement. Having this dialogue is an important part of the process, and we look forward to hearing your questions and concerns. The NRC staff has and will continue to coordinate its environmental impact statement review with multiple groups within the Navajo Nation, including the Navajo Nation Environmental Protection Agency and local communities. We look forward to your comments and value your feedback. It's an important part in our decision-making process. Again, thank you for your time today, and I'll turn it back over to Joan.
Thank you, Kevin. Ashley Waldron from NMSS will give a presentation about the UNC Church Rock License Amendments Environmental Review, and Joanna Manygoats will provide a short summary in Diné after the NRC's presentation. As I mentioned before, she's available if anyone needs a Diné translator this evening. And then Kevin Coyne will return to give closing remarks for the meeting. Slide 5, please. This slide provides some ground rules for today's meeting. Please log into both the WebEx and call into the toll-free phone line. This arrangement allows us to minimize our bandwidth to have a more stable meeting platform and help conduct a meeting's question and answer and comment sessions. I'd like to add, no regulatory decisions will be made during this meeting. The meeting will be transcribed, and the meeting transcript and meeting summary will be available on NRC website. Because of the number of attendees, we may need to limit the time for an individual's question or comment. We make sure everyone has a chance to participate. And if we have enough time for everyone to ask additional questions or provide additional comments, we can circle back and allow people to ask these questions or comments as time allows. If you're not on WebEx and you'd like to view the presentation slides, they are in the NRC's ADAMS documents database and on our project webpage. The accession number for the package today containing slides is ML21112A279. The presentation slides are also available on the public meeting announcement. This meeting is being transcribed, so in order to get a clean recording and minimize distractions during the meeting, we ask the panelists to mute their phones when they are not speaking. And for attendees on the phone, you'll be on listen-only mode until the question and answer portion of this meeting. If you'd like to speak, please contact the operator by pushing star 1, and she will put you in a queue and announce when it's your turn. You will be asked to state and spell your name and affiliation. If you don't, And if you decide you don't want to speak and want to leave the queue, press star 2. We're always looking for ways to improve our meetings, and your feedback is important to us. At the end of the meeting, please go to the NRC meeting webpage at www.nrc.gov/PMNS/MTG, click on the recently held meetings button, and look for this meeting. The meeting feedback form will be at the bottom of the meeting's announcement. Slide 6, please. And with that, I'll turn this over to Ashley for a presentation. Ashley?
Hello, and thank you, Joan. I'm just doing a quick sound check here before I get started. All right. Hello and good evening. My name is Ashley Waldron, and I'm the project manager for the NRC's Environmental Review. Before I get into the details of the proposal tonight and the Environmental Impact Statement, I want to first start by thanking those members of the Redwater Pond Road community who are willing to meet with the NRC staff and provide us your valuable insights regarding this project. We are appreciative of the perspective you bring to this process. Since our last public meeting, NRC aired a series of radio broadcasts on the local Navajo radio. They were recorded in both English and Diné. The Diné broadcasts were provided by Sarah Adeki. And if you'd like to listen to those broadcasts, they're available on NRC's YouTube page. During tonight's broadcast, I'm going to talk about the NRC's role and process, talk specifically about United Nuclear Corporation's license amendment request, discuss our draft environmental impact statement findings, and finally provide the ways you can comment on our draft report. For those who are not logged into the WebEx meeting, we are on slide 6, background UNC mill site. The UNC mill site operated from 1977 until 1982. Under a state of New Mexico license, or from nearby mines, including the Northeast Church Rock Mine, was processed at the mill. During operations, a waste product called tailings were produced, and the tailings were stored in an impoundment on site. In 1979, the tailings dam failed, and it released about 94 million gallons of mill tailings liquids into the nearby pipeline Arroyo. And we realized that nearby communities were deeply impacted by this spill. It's important to note that the NRC regulations for disposal of mill tailings were created in 1985. These regulations address siting of tailings impoundments, operations, decontamination, decommissioning, and reclamation of mill tailings. The NRC oversight at the mill began in 1986. Next slide, please. Slide 7, background on the Northeast Church Rock mine site. So the Northeast Church Rock mine is one of the largest abandoned uranium mines on the Navajo Nation, and it is a priority for cleanup due to the location of the residents living nearby. In 2005, the Navajo Nation requested that the U.S. EPA take the lead for the cleanup at the Northeast Church Rock mine. In 2011, the EPA Region 9 selected the cleanup plan to remove the Northeast Church Rock mine waste and place most of the waste onto the mill site. Any waste above 200 picocuries per gram of radium-226 would be separated and disposed of at another licensed facility, in other words, not at the mill site. In 2013, the U.S. EPA Region 6, who oversees the groundwater cleanup at the mill site, made a decision to accept the mine waste at the mill site. Next slide, please. Slide 8 is the current site environment. So the mill site is located on privately owned land that's owned by United Nuclear Corporation. The mine site is located mostly on Navajo trust land. New Mexico Highway 566 is a two-lane highway that provides primary access to the site. And there are approximately 34 occupied home sites within 2 miles of the mine and mill site. Pipeline Arroyo is a dry stream bed that fills with water after rain. It's located on the western side of the mill site, which you'll see on the next slide. Next slide, please. Slide 9 shows the mine and mill site location. This slide shows the proposed project, which is located outside of Gallup, New Mexico in McKinley County. The proposed project area is outlined in red, and within this area, you will see the Northeast Church Rock mine in the upper left portion. This is where the waste will be removed from, and then it will be taken via the access and haul roads to the proposed disposal site, as shown in the shaded area. Note that Pipeline Arroyo is also shown in the blue line running along parallel to Highway 566. Also want to point out the red triangles are the homes within the Redwater Pond Road community above the Northeast Church Rock Mine. Next slide, please. Now I'm going to talk about the UNC mill site current status. So tailings from the milling operations are stored in the north, central, and south cells in what's called the tailings impoundment, and the tailings are covered by a radon barrier. There are 2 evaporation ponds on site that are used for the ongoing groundwater cleanup activities. There is a memorandum of understanding between the NRC and EPA Region 6, who oversees the groundwater remediation for the Groundwater Corrective Action Plan. Next slide, please. I'm on slide 11, the license amendment request. United Nuclear Corporation is seeking to amend its NRC license. And if approved, it would allow the transfer of 1 million cubic yards of mine waste from the Northeast Church Rock Mine and place that waste on an existing mill tailings impoundment for permanent disposal. UNC's request and NRC's review does not include the higher concentration of waste that would be anything screened above the EPA's action level of 200 picocuries per gram of radium-226. This waste would not be disposed of at the mill site, and EPA would identify an appropriate licensed facility to take this waste. The picture shown here was taken in 2019, and it shows the tailings impoundment at the mill site. Next slide, please. I'm on slide 12, NRC's role. So NRC's oversight is limited to the mill site, and therefore we have the authority to approve or deny the license amendment request based on whether the placement of the waste at the mill site can be done safely. The NRC does not have the authority over the mine waste, and it has no decision. It has no say in the decisions that were made for the Northeast Church Rock mine waste. As I mentioned earlier, that is the role of the US EPA. Next slide, please. Slide 13 is the NRC's review process. NRC is performing an environmental and a safety review, evaluating the proposals submitted to us by the United Nuclear Corporation. NRC documented its safety findings in a safety evaluation report. That report was issued in September of 2020. NRC is currently working with the Department of Energy to address their comments on the safety evaluation report. The Department of Energy is who the site would eventually be transferred to for long-term care. We issued our draft environmental impact statement in November of 2020. This is the report we are currently collecting comments on tonight. We will continue to collect comments through May 27th. NRC will evaluate all public comments received during the comment period on the draft EIS and consider modifying it before issuing a final environmental impact statement in December of this year. A comment response summary will be included as an appendix to the final environmental impact statement. That will include all of the comments received on our report, including the ones received at this meeting. We expect to make our final licensing decision by January of 2022. Next slide, please. Slide 14 is environmental impact statement. So NRC is required under the National Environmental Policy Act to disclose the environmental impacts of the proposed action. Those findings are documented in our draft environmental impact statement. The environmental impact statement evaluates the potential environmental impacts to inform the public about the proposal and to make sure we've considered all the relevant information in assessing those impacts. The action before the NRC is either to approve or deny the license amendment request. So this is what the NRC evaluates. Here's a snapshot of how the report is organized, and it goes into detail about what United Nuclear Corporation is proposing to do. It talks about the current site environment and the impacts that the action would have on the environment. Next slide, please. Slide 15, proposed action. The EIS evaluates impacts of the proposed action. And the proposed action is to amend the UNC license to allow them to dispose of the 1 million cubic yards of mine waste on top of the existing tailings impoundment at the mill site. The waste consists of soil, waste rock, and mine debris. United Nuclear Corporation is proposing to transfer the material by truck using the haul and access roads. Cover material, which is material used to cover the waste after it's placed on the mill site, would be obtained from areas on site at the mill. United Nuclear Corporation is proposing that the pipeline arroyo be stabilized using a riprap rock chute to replace the current rock jetty, which will address erosion concerns in that area. Next slide, please. Slide 16, EIS alternatives. The environmental impact statement also discusses alternatives to the proposed action, which include the no action alternative, which evaluates the impacts if the NRC did not approve the license amendment and therefore UNC would not be allowed to dispose of the waste at the mill site. We also looked at what we call secondary alternatives. These are essentially the same as the proposed action, but include modifications to specific activities. The first one includes a modification of how the waste would be transferred, which looked at using a covered conveyor system instead of by truck. And the second one includes a modification of where cover material would be sourced from the jetty area. Next slide, please. Slide 17, impact evaluation. Now that we've discussed what the proposal is, I'm going to talk specifically about the environmental impacts. We looked at impacts for three phases of the proposed project: construction, transfer, and finally closure. Most impacts, such as noise and transportation, would occur during the 3.5 years during construction and transfer, and would then stop. Next slide, please. Slide 18 is the results of the NRC's environmental review. So this slide captures the impact assessment for each of the resource areas. The environmental impact levels range from small to large. And for some of the resource areas, you will see there's a range, like small to moderate. And this means that for particular phases, the construction, transfer, and closure that I just mentioned, that there could be small impacts during one phase but moderate during another. You could also have certain aspects of that resource area have different impact levels. For example, ecology and air quality is shown in the table here. It's important to note that these slides are showing the impacts of the proposed license amendment itself, and the EIS also addresses the impacts of historical events as cumulative impacts, and those can be found in Chapter 5 of the draft environmental impact statement. Next slide, please. Slide 19 shows the remainder of the resource areas and the impact findings. For most of the resource areas, the impacts from the proposed action would be small to moderate. Most of the impacts would occur only during the approximate 4-year construction period when the repository is being constructed, waste is being transferred, and the repository is capped and revegetated. Many of the small impacts are considered minimal because of the environmental practice and safeguards that would reduce any negative effects on the environmental resource. Mitigation measures that have been identified can be found in Chapter 6 of the Environmental Impact Statement. I'll discuss some of these resources in more detail in the next few slides. Next slide, please. Slide 20, transportation impacts. Traffic is expected to increase during construction of the proposed project, and as much as 68% of an increase in traffic is expected at the Hall Road crossing. Toll roads would be constructed, including one at Highway 566. United Nuclear Corporation estimates that there would be 280 truck trips per day or 40 trips per hour. Road closures would be limited to 15 minutes or less, and school buses would not be delayed. United Nuclear Corporation also plans to install a temporary traffic light at the crossing. Next slide, please. Slide 21, noise impacts. Noise would be generated from the use of construction equipment and from excavation activities. Increased traffic would also contribute to noise levels. The closest noise receptors are residents of the Redwater Pond Road community, which are adjacent to the mine site. Next slide, please. Slide 22, surface water impacts. Impacts to surface water during project activities may result from stormwater runoff and resulting erosion. As mentioned earlier, United Nuclear Corporation is proposing stabilization work in the Pipeline Arroyo, or jetty area, to address potential future erosion. The current design allows for improvements to stormwater drainage. Next slide, please. Slide 23, air quality impacts. Dust will be generated from vehicle travel on unpaved roads. There's a possibility for wind erosion in the disturbed areas. Emissions would be generated from construction equipment. And United Nuclear Corporation has proposed mitigation measures in its application for controlling dust. Some of those include spraying of roads, covering of trucks, and wetting stockpiles. Next slide, please. Slide 24, historic and cultural resources and ecological resources. Five sites have been identified within the areas of disturbance that are recommended as eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. There are four located on the mine site and one on the mill site. Impacts to historic and cultural resources would be small to large, depending on the implementation of mitigation measures to reduce land disturbing effects on these resources. The NRC, in coordination with the Environmental Protection Agency, the Navajo Nation Tribal Historic Preservation Office, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the New Mexico Historic Preservation Office, and United Nuclear Corporation, are developing a programmatic agreement to mitigate adverse effects on these areas. The agreement describes procedures to ensure protection of the identified sites and that proper protocols are followed. Large impacts would only occur if no mitigation occurs, and that is very unlikely. For ecological resources, no threatened or endangered species were identified to be affected by the proposed action. Next slide. Slide 25 is environmental justice. Environmental justice impacts are those that affect disproportionately low-income and minority populations. Nearby communities, which are primarily Navajo, have been impacted by historical mining and milling operations and could be impacted by the proposed project from traffic, air quality changes, primarily from dust, and increased noise levels. No adverse human health effects are expected from the proposed project. Chapter 5 of the Environmental Impact Statement describes impacts to the Navajo people in the context of past uranium mining and milling activities. We've attempted to accurately capture and describe the perspectives of the Navajo Nation. However, we recognize that they may hold different views than the conclusions presented in the draft environmental impact statement. Next slide, please. Slide 26, information resources. This slide contains a number of web links where you can find additional information on the NRC's website. The first one will take you directly to the draft environmental impact statement. The second link is to our reader's guide, which provides a summary of the draft environmental impact statement and some frequently asked questions. And the last link is to the NRC's project webpage, and this is where you can find a copy of the safety evaluation report, as well as the NRC's schedule. Next slide, please. Slide 27, submitting comments on the draft environmental impact statement. This slide lists all the ways we are collecting comments on the draft environmental impact statement. You can provide oral comments tonight at this meeting. You can submit them in writing or by email or by letter via regular mail, or leave a voicemail at the number listed on the slide here. Next slide, please. Slide 28 is a NRC webpage snapshot. So this is what the NRC's webpage looks like if you clicked on the last link in slide 26. And you'll see a box in the top right-hand corner of the page, which contains a link to find all of the information on how to comment on the draft environmental impact statement and information regarding the meeting transcript for tonight's meeting, which will be posted shortly after this meeting. Next slide, please. Slide 29 is upcoming dates. There are a number of upcoming dates I'll note here. So the draft environmental impact statement comment period ends on May 27th, 2021. We'll issue our final EIS in December of 2021. And we'll issue a revised SER and license amendment decision in January of 2022. Next slide, please. Slide 30 contains the NRC project contacts. My contact information is listed here. And if you have questions regarding the NRC's environmental review, please contact me. Should you have questions regarding the NRC safety review or the safety evaluation report, please contact Jim Smith. That concludes my presentation, and I'll turn it back over to Joan. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley. Ms. Minnie Goetz will now give a summary of Ashley's presentation in Diné. Joanna?
Yes. Bishi Kwet Nas Kidige Yakodoba Nahanet or Leh Ishja. NRC Yanda Nishigi Kayapadet Egito Ahahasan Bestand Aja Kwe Nikitrahono Do Denebazat Trahanegido Koden Hehono. A coco dijump egisi benigeque, a sunny glenige, nakigo, a rago bedet, UNC, North East Church Rock, je, that so sej was like ye de, e de, nal so siki, a hondod, nashiki, banak, astole, that so, betradas geed near eno, andod, nes nare, UNC became a package. Joy RJA yard, said soft at Jinjdotak Ago. Al Essen there go because ah, I die Arjisa, did the Sejigi dot is that Eggy dot on it zingi a ya say yet no. A coco UNC became a package. A yard, I don't know, I keep a cottage in Nadoji. At Nego hot a yard, a kayagi, Nasca, environmental impact statement is ne. Jo a yard, you see, Kodon, Nikizadigi, that the dots ain't ne, net at the dots ain't Hagoshin, he that is Ado Hagoshi a yard, Nanishigi better not up in a year. Ado did NRC would get a ya, a shin soko a ya, ohalini panilia, did bendan nish don, danan nish. Yenesh egi don, the bishol jishigi, roles and processes will ya. A coco nas is at atoba a tebi. Tebidin oba as tai haha da e ya NRC aja. Orne Panilia. Did Orne Panilia Gae, ya UNC, United Nuclear Corporation, or Yehegi, Kedes, ain't or the equip, a Yananish Panilia. Orne Pesha. A quit the dashed so. Did Hadaske, the gee, no end or Niski, ya, a Yisi Basila. Adon da UNC benal so speak echo sej. Sed so betra gede. E de no adol nishkito. Adjanal so siki nak asjur so pahnilia. Akodi, the UNC license amendment request is Nenige, yeah. UNC Shape Benal Source 1977, Don Lay 1982, Jen. That's a Hagedra Ajakut Ado, Nish Ado Dida Adnai Kedige Yadida said Sohagi no Ado, Nishki, a quaint or Nishiki, Dadigi be not thought or less. Doenda. That's not a dollar. I should have a so dollar. NRC. Joe NRC get a pass on that. Quite. Did that so much. I get a gain. I got a dollar. I don't care. I don't care. Na da hotlonige ya USEPA e ajaba na nasla e kut out or nation da hot put out e ya nas kut out or nishti de set let so says which I get nigo hot a e ajaba sula oko 2005 ya da anahe Navajo Nation do EPA acha zi di de ke ya pa cargo e hasht e hot od ni yidin ni USEPA ado asan da zi ado kui di de big agent 2011 ye ita e ya USEPA UNC Hot ego, AA Yadi Northeast Church Rock, Jerha, Gedigi Hot A, Hush Edo Nathan Latin, no Ado Nathy Dean Need. Ado 2013, Da AA Yayu NC, but that need, Adi Hot Out or Nisha Lenigi. UNC Jaja said so had a scared there. Zaydan Lenigi Dorset Sohagi AJAA Ya Washingtonic. It is Inki at DK Yahagi Trustland. The net are caught up a run. Dequaha a gedigi dant eggy don the dant keen. That da shlej, that a shlej, that bedant keen. Sako e yasto, bako ahot sago. Ako. Akot a kohado nego e yati de UNC banal sos banak asigi e de a ko. As lingo e yat asahad de meliaje. Tra kessel la de gago sa awal trago. What date? Ndal kidigi, wiyate, ndal kidigi, but asato krasti de sejigi. Wiyate, ndal kidigi, yadi UNC bikaya bakagi. Ae da sa no egi, bakaja da doji. Jokot a ee ya. Sich kid. Do you in see sej? Sej so sej will hatas gedigi no at all nishge. Do ke ya hagi bakak in us kat or less. Ado leti dead, tizet at hegi na has stand on the tahinani dobelash lai. Papa has ki iki. Shipen na e hot an das ka. Ako e aje en altos halt. Sedeke e ya draft environmental impact statement isne. Eits a da a laje na as ka go na altos be halt. Ntsa gond in nishko. Hotet ako be has ani bik eko e ya National Environmental Policy Act. Well, yeah. A other chon, either other a ya, hashine la, and has anegibic accord or nisco, but are a ya, yes, yes, yeah, this is. A codina as kaige by yat hit on the, hate ego a la de ketahat enegi, neither do list, hat nego oko, has tron. Has on bon sago e ya nes ka e chapters ishne. Ako aj e ya abdida bohadest aniki UNC benal sos ndog as do asad de mil tra kesela dak on as on beol tra egi sej. Says not all, she's a dot a sanda at leco. Que a ya nabicia dat hiko hot a ya a nel indol les. This set of guess what nenigi a ya isja a arjits is zaina halonshi as for nepet trusted tata. Nan set the scotta. Ado on the high get it or the need zinky she a arge a ya, no not old cheese. Ado chidded so gay behitty ghetto. Ado bakai don't be kit or kit on the bakai gig edit or yes, address when it has gingo, ah, ne ah, cohort or nego. Ado did a pipeline. Pipeline jip a ko hiki is dot I ye see ba a tiho dot inch. E di da ho dine a go da nda ja shiki don da a dan sta go e ya ton da da ko. Ton da da go don da ton de zi go ko de shi a t en de e yan dot ka. Ka la di da no a li a gi e ya tida cha nel e go e yinel a go e. Listen to us that's the door, let's see the other, no, 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 chingo, no. A quote, what L.A. Yapenajnish. Ado di, na kikona, you see, you don't say, na haleniki alternative, na nishne, jo e a la, jinke, ya, do ado nishta, no action ishne. E de don di liago e ya UNC benal sos. Do balaz lingo a kutzago e het so lej betrai gede. Da dan lenez nan nana heta da tsen da e ya USEPA ya nana tindo lej katne. Na kikon e ya a bini alfesho kwaed oyo shil. Ado na kikon e ya a bin dat o nishiki oyo tisigo ya sako atza do les asto khatne. Ado len laid conveyor belt de snesa. Ea todo the desnanigi, trashin skel go e di de sejigi, but cut an as jago big est, hiko e nas yo zonstodles. Okot a e nas kotod nis shatshin. Ado di sejigi sto big est, hiko. Navet pipeline. Kohato ado e sejigi besestrako chido inch. A konege yadida bada has kit impacts isne do na nishidanos hatat e ya oya ya bada has ki ikijo di kalpengo construction kayapa kago shi. Ashin toko e yanta a gate or less, don't that the hot eats at all less. Historic and cultural resources isna ado tanel ing ado lel kanes tzo dat odo un chongo nel in sha jo hota ego ado on the kya tan hui sla go da dat e la sh la e peso nede do after arge it got the social economics isna ado on the did no kago da in nishko Chait ego e yad echelt ego de neban saha kes don da kon ke yab a kao na has anigi ban saha kes. Di ko jid ad a huint inge bis naz digi it ego. Environmental justice isne. Adon da e di ko ed da hi nani behododolt igi. Ado tzi zeba a chanyagi jo e yad ash. Oye yet an dasgo. Takota sit takotan tsago hot a e ya ines inla kweti de nikhas anige e ya di environmental justice wol yegi I C A ya pe nahanan a khada de yat an rajo bagon hitas adon da kodeni ke ab kaut ashi da de hashinel na de e ya kata aget go ban aste ayut ayen hi oto helt ego hot a e yan hin an nishn hat no hot an ne di la ado di kojet ai nani ta paganje eto da yego e ya bahast kitan halden don da to nan nishi de nosk ata ado a ebesland ege edidet chiden da jege stedat asa besu ishken shige be wolt khago satin do ba ate pi dot ish kodie te khuito listi de khalpe don da agenda anneshko ado on da Atenish Lezugi 566 is Nenigi is do quite a bit his atingo. Adneto les. A quoti, Sudana kidneys, not deemed over Azebitin. Chides nana would go, not at all les. Adosh not at the Algin, eh ya, Chidigin date zinko, hot a e aje, da inishigi, chidin da jet or les. Adon the danda each he got. Tanda I iskota hot a e yasa sa ado le e ti de a tienish lesgi 566 a kage. Ado di de ha ho an lenigi noidis lenige e ya na adon da chedetsotan tsraigi do lej hat a yizitigi kotat hegi shen ye go bet ado e ha ho an lendo. Ado chidigi la go e snat e dole. Tada yisi achanago be ida. E yisi bedeshni do leshigita tsuwan yati the noise impact. E ya aja red water pond residents. Dan denigi aja tapaga niki shingego. E ya the kitchen. The lana halen do le. Ado di de to no kagon de zihigi do to nda hat lehigi jo e aja e ya. Nda aneshko nada has tkin ko da do de de ya nda tlasko da e aja to da e rashigi igi si e ya pa has tki. Ado nda di de pipeline bako cha aja e ya khashine la go Chusk FBI Yajiki, not a hot old Lehigi, Ajigi, Sinel, Edo, and the Bananish. Dodi the Totas, Lido Ton Topata, Eskis go conso, Bananish, Dodet, Eti Had, Essent, Epis was under. Ado Dinch in a raggy store, Nichi begun, says the Bahi Gishi, the Hunter at your store list. Ado di de ni yodigi sto na araj go at di de nda hui slata go ta di chid na ta da des ke go ta chid da ba des ke go ta a konshin e ya a yi si e ya ni yodigi sej ne di jat o le erosion di shin ni gi ado chid ba bilida ta ehegi chid so pe da in ne shi gi ta Lidda dat egi do aye kajdoga hat ego shinta handa jol do lesel do a koko di de sejgi na olzen do lesel hat nenigi e ya chidi a joan da jes do lesel do tohagi e ya ben kolzen do lesel do and da big ita astki kohot a ita haiti gies do lesel adon da di yosko e ya na nishigi e oyo pe Bishna enal ito lechohot ela. Ado di kwaeti cultural and historic ishninigi resources. Aja ee ya nishe bea ol ito. Aja bishnit ige ya ashtlako khadeel ila. Akunde ee ya deneba Washington don da. Aja kut aadikita dez ige ishrada estala. The Never Washington do your torture call zoigi don the USEPA do Bakagish Kiji Yisdaid Nishigi BIA do UNCAR for D the Ben has anigit udabik echo chit edo lechot a ee ya yes got that is ala Adon the D quadrit quadrit hinagon he kayabakago bishnaid dehigi sto e do sapa hochentala Do sa do I see it need ding what I hidel inla. A kodi kodri environmental justice is nenege ya kea do belash lae. Abad ha jo bago bisnaz aja, bisnaz aja de a rago nahal den sudi e what the hon as kid. Jo e nihe ya di de do e tsuda need lada. Nihe old trago. A minorities ne. Don that I yahako e ya nan neston hichen asla. A don that an a raida hol jishko e ya hata a kieton da hata an esko hot an his hol jishni keyapa kago. A don that di chidden nal deki chidden traffic iki. A don hota di a iki don that leisure that eki to a aja e anni. A yedigo bedi ka. A kunda at is a tido lishige yato tstata. Di a yego nsago. Atanaz anigi. Junigo hot a e ya nas kata. Ado bi ked e ya di be eda hozini konhij e yishtra. A astra hatat ego. Hajo na denesh isen zin goshe ajin dis kiston da. Bena itis kit go da beshbe haneton da beshe chi bena atzo da tehegi da atzkin so ehot a. 나이트 스케고 나베 호티 아도디 코저카다 이지 퍼블릭 코멘트 스테이션 에조 에디 데스다스 나스카고 나소스베할 스디게 에야 니히네 다디 차도 레시 코에카고 신케다 디 아곤 다 카고 신 조스 엔테 슐리타 노스 네게디 사코 신도 오다 에고 다반 얀 Yantash Nishiki Kuiba Katovja. Yadit Atso Nadin Sosidios Kasko Net Ado Ahaena Di Khahagi Aja Koto Si Ado on the Dikwa Sani Dlinigis to Yadida Kato Ziton the Hot Ego to Nego Ya Nahaho Ato Le. A hwt a e ya kwe ysach ni gli do on da di ben i ge ysach ni gli. A kwo go, a kwn sa go e ya nad an chys na hwys net do lill a da zad go e chi he. Back to you.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome.
And now it's time for a question and answer session. We showed the first slide again, so people could see the bridge line number in the passcode in case they missed it before. Now this session will be for questions regarding the NRC's process for evaluating the UNC's request for a licensing amendment. If you have any questions about one of the specific slides, please try to refer to the appropriate slide in your question. We may need to limit the time for discussion to 3 or 5 minutes so everyone has a time to speak. And if we have time, you'll be able to ask additional questions by going through the operator again. We are limiting today's questions and comments to the NRC's review of the UNC Church Rock licensing amendment request. If we have questions or comments concerning topics beyond the scope of this meeting, we will try to provide you with a way to obtain information on these other topics too. And now I'll ask the operator to unmute everyone's phone and please press *1 if you'd like to get in the queue and say your name and affiliation. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press *1, unmute your phone, and record your name and affiliation. If you would like to remove your name, please press *2.
I believe it's press *2, correct, if you decide later to leave the queue?
Yes. Our first question comes from Marlene Parrott. Your line is open.
Yes. When you did the EIS alternatives, I didn't see where removing all the mill tailings off the whole property and to a new site. I didn't see that as an alternative.
Hello, this is Ashley Waldron. So when you're referring to the mill tailing being removed, so that is not part of this action in front of us. It's to remove the mine waste and place that waste on top of the existing mill tailings impoundment. That's why that was not included.
Well, what about having the mine tailings removed? Mine waste removed totally off-site and not on top of the mill tailings. Sorry about getting those confused.
Sure. So that is beyond the scope of the NRC's environmental review. We are just looking at what's being presented to us by United Nuclear Corporation, which is to evaluate and approve or deny a license amendment request to move the mine spoils onto the mill site.
Thank you.
Sure.
There are no questions in queue at this time. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Tatiana. Your line is open. Tatiana, your line is open. There are no questions in queue at this time. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, record your name clearly, and state your affiliation. Our next question comes from Larry King. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm with the affiliated with the Redwater Pond community. It seems like your the slide, one of the pages, indicates that the Redwater Pond community is just being held hostage because if there's no adverse, if the license amendment is not approved, and then it's going to take EPA approximately another 10 years to come up with another decision. And it's it, and then one of the other issue on the cleanup. I've been to several meetings with the community, and I have stated strongly that the mine waste be moved off-site even before the draft EIS came about. And none of those communities' suggestions are not listed anywhere. That is not right. And the other thing, the environmental justice, no adverse human is expected on the proposed project. There is another community a little further up to the northeast of Pipeline Canyon, Pipeline Road community, consisting of, I don't know, might be 25 to 50 families. They're going to be traveling through all of this mine activity, plus the remaining, the holdouts from the Redwater Pond, making up about maybe 5 families. So how can you say there's no adverse human effects expected on the proposed project? There is, and there will be. It's just very upsetting. that it seems like if you don't go, the community is being told if you don't approve this, if you don't cite, and if you don't go along and approve this amendment, then you're going to be left alone for approximately 10 years before another EIS is drafted. That's not right. That's environmental injustice. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Next.
Yeah, I think we'll have a – hold on. I think we will have a response. Ashley?
Hi, yes. I think – thank you, Larry King, for your comments. I think Sarah Jacobs is going to say a few words from EPA Region 9.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Sarah.
Yate, everyone. Sarah Jacobs-Shia, US EPA, Banmashnish. I am the project manager for the Northeast Turtrack Mine Site. I work out of San Francisco in Region 9. And I'd just like to acknowledge that while my children are fifth-generation San Franciscan, that I am currently living and working on the unceded land of the Ohlone people. And I want to thank you, Larry King, for your comment and also the previous speaker. I can kind of give people a little bit of information and context for this decision, when it happened, and how that process occurred. So US EPA is responsible for the cleanup of the Northeast Turtruck mine site, and everyone on this phone is participating because everyone is concerned about the safety of the community, and that all of these sites in the area, the mine sites and the mill sites, that they can be maintained safely and safely disposed for permanent disposal. And so I asked Ashley, she said there's 81 people on this line. And I'd like to thank everybody for their interest in this project. Like Ashley said, the Northeast Turtruck Mine Site is the largest, one of the largest on the Navajo Nation out of over 500 mine sites. And it's, like Ashley said, was ranked the highest in priority for cleanup. And so that's what EPA's mission is, to protect public health and the environment. And I think that's what everyone on this phone wants. We want a safe site that's cleaned up as soon as possible. And so EPA, we work under Superfund law. You might hear it referred to as CERCLA. And we are bound by law to make cleanup decisions. And they can be very hard, tough decisions, because there's no perfect solution that's going to return the land to what it was and make the waste go away. It has to go somewhere. And so how we make our decision about how to clean up the site is the law requires we look at three things. One is effectiveness. Is the solution protective of public health and the environment? Are people going to be safe? The second one, implementability. Can we make this decision? And then the third criteria is cost. How much will it cost? And those are the criteria that we have to pay attention to. And so when we put out our alternative analysis, we call it an ECA, Engineering Evaluation Cost Analysis. We put that out in 2009. And many of the same people who spoke so eloquently in December of last year and who are on the phone tonight, and I'm sure are going to speak, voice the same concerns about the option of bringing, we evaluated the option of bringing the mine waste over to the UNC mill site. And people said that they didn't want that option because it's so close. And even though it removes the contamination from the mine site and allows that tribal trust land for unrestricted traditional uses, it does put the waste at the UNC mill site. And the reason why we selected that alternative EPA in 2011 is because it reduces the footprint and puts it on a place where there's already contamination, the mill tailings. And but before we made that decision, when we heard the how much everybody did not want that decision, that they wanted the waste taken to a much farther away licensed repository, we took a pause in 2009, and we met with President Shelley, and we did a consultation with the president, and he told us that he wanted us to work with the Redwater Pond Road community and look at other alternatives that people had brought up during that public comment process, alternatives like Fort Wingate or other sites, other disposal sites. And he asked us to address any technical concerns that were brought up during that time. And so we took 2 years. Usually when you put out the alternatives, it's about 6 months between then and when you make a decision. But we took 2 years. And during that time, we had consultations with the Navajo government. We worked with the community. We had over 11 meetings during that time. I'm sure some people on the line were there. There were risk and health workshops on vegetation. We had lots of meetings about interim cleanups. And so we took that time, and there's a number of documents up on our website now looking at additional alternatives. What about other sites in the area? Is there anything else we can choose? And we didn't find anything. And if we had found other nearby disposal sites that met our criteria of effectiveness, implementability, and cost, we would have come out with a ECA and an evaluation for Quivira. So we're still looking for nearby sites, nearby alternatives for other sites that we can, that are effective, implementable, and meet our cost criteria. So I just wanted to give people a little bit of background about why we made that decision and the history of those consultations with President Shelley and listening to the community. And the decision that EPA made was we had two more decisions that had to be made for the mill site. That was just the decision to clean up the mine site. One was by EPA Region 6 under Superfund law. They had to accept the waste at the mill site, and some of you may remember those public meetings in 2013. And then that decision was made, and then now NRC is making their licensing decision. So the federal government is back in our listening mode. We want to hear everything people have to say. If we should hear any concerns about safety or reasons why we could not proceed, we want to hear those. But we have completed our evaluations, like Ashley said, and they're all out on the NRC website and the EPA website. Ashley?
Thank you, Sarah. And I'll turn it back over to Joan or Lance.
Okay. Thank you, Ashley and Sarah. And what we're going to do now is move on to the comment period. And Lance Rakovin will be facilitating the public comment session for a meeting. Lance?
All right. Wanted to make sure I was unmuted there. Good evening, everyone. Again, my name is Lance Rakovan, and I'll be helping to facilitate the commenting portion of our meeting. Just a reminder that we would like to keep the focus on comments on the draft environmental impact statement, for the license amendment at the UNC Church Rock Mill site. To accomplish that, we'll primarily be in listening mode. We ask that you try to keep your comments brief so we can allow the most people to provide comments as possible given our time. It's not my preference to cut anyone off, but at the same time, we'd like to make sure that everyone who would like a chance to provide comments can do so. If everyone who wishes to speak has a chance to do so and there's time left, we're happy to allow folks another chance at the microphone. Just keep in mind that, as Ashley mentioned during her presentation, this is not the only way that you can provide your comments. Again, press star 1 if you would like to get in the queue, provide your name and your affiliation, and provide star 2 if you decide later to leave the queue. So again, operator, if you could go ahead and see if we start a queue and see if we have anybody who would like to provide comments.
Thank you. Our first public comment comes from Joan Brown. Joan, your line is open.
Thank you. And actually, I was in the queue for a question, so I'll make a comment and question then. The question I have is, in the EIS, it was stated that the environmental justice risk or, accountability was very, very high. And I'm just wondering, isn't that enough to stop the project as it is proposed from happening? Or how do you weigh these things? And when would that, if it's very high, that seems like it would stop a project so that the community voices would be heard and respected on this. So my comment is then that I believe the community voices should be heard and another alternative should be sought.
Okay, thank you for that. Operator, do we have anyone else in the queue at this time?
Currently, no public comments at this time. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name and affiliation clearly. If you'd like to withdraw your public comment, please press star 2. One moment as participants queue up for public comment. Our next public comment comes from Daryl Yazzie. Daryl, your line is open. Daryl, your line is open.
Good evening. Thank you. Aro yat e tirini dole zanos kokais nos fangi. Question, I guess, question, comments, observations, talking about where we are and what we're doing. First thing I'd like to point out is to my colleagues with NRC, I find it very disturbing to put out a comment that says if we don't come to a consensus to approve this, that this is going to take an additional 10 years. It's a very strong statement to make. In my mind, a little inappropriate, because it does put the perception out there of you either have to do this now or you're going to have to wait another 10 years. I don't think that's the answer. When we're talking about environmental justice, I think we need to be able to listen and come up with real solutions and not put that perception of I'm taking my ball and going home. That doesn't work. In the true definition of environmental justice, that does not work. So please listen to the community members. There's opportunity here to make amends with what we've already identified is a lack of a true effective means of communicating. I would like to challenge you, NRC, to listen in that manner and respond in the same way. And I would also like to extend that to my federal counterparts at US EPA. I understand the process that has been taken to get us to where we are, but clearly we've missed something here. We've talked about the means and how we identify the options, effectiveness, implementability, and cost. And yet we've not, at least to my knowledge, we've not truly had a real discussion about cost and what those options would look like. I think there's methodology and technology that exists right now that would help us to bring down the cost as a true factor in limiting us from identifying another place to take waste material to. I would recommend strongly to this event and the host agency to take every question and put it back out in Navajo and provide the response, the comments also in Navajo. I understand that might take a little bit longer with this this setup, but I know I have relatives in the Redwater Pond Road community that would benefit from hearing the conversations in Navajo. And I just want to bring to light that this week we had opportunity to hear the draft EIS be presented on KTNN in Navajo, but I think the timing is it leaves something to still want, I guess, is for a better lack of a way of putting it, is it's kind of late. We're already a month away from the comment period ending. I would recommend putting it out more. I would recommend another public meeting with more back and forth conversations. I would strongly recommend going out and meeting with the community members and getting and giving firsthand information and receiving firsthand information. I think that's all I'd like to say this evening. I take responsibility and I accept my role in the work that we have to undertake. And if you'll allow me, I'd like an opportunity to help us help the community, to help Navajo Nation. There's a lot of information provided. There's a lot of historical information provided that's a little skewed in my perspective because it only speaks to one side, not the side that is pleading to be heard. And that's the side that we have to listen to. You and I, meaning the agencies, we don't have to live there. The families do. We need to understand that. We need to respect that. Thank you.
One moment while we wait for additional public comments. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and state your name and affiliation clearly. If you'd like to retract your public comment, please press star 2. One moment. Our next public comment comes from Edith Hood. Edith, your line is open.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am with the Redwater Pond Road community, and I'm just sitting here thinking about the 10 years that has been mentioned. If there was no action and if the license is not approved, remaining another 10 years, the waste that is already there. In my community, 60 years ago, the drilling community came in, started drilling, looking for uranium. And then the mining started. So far, we've been dealing with this 60 years. And I'm just sitting here thinking, another 10 years? Yes, it is a no. We've lived here. Now, if this happens somewhere outside the Indian communities, we wouldn't still be talking about this. So that's all the comment I want to make. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
There are no comments in queue at this time. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1.
All right, we'll make sure that we pause enough time to give folks a chance.
Lance, this is Ashley Waldron. I think we just want to address the 10-year estimate that NRC included in its no action alternative.
Please.
I'm sorry?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, so that was an assumption that we made based on the process that EPA took to select the remedy. But I'll give it to Sarah Jacobs to talk more about, what would be involved if the NRC did deny the license and what that process would look like. Sarah?
Thank you, Ashley. So just to let people know, the options that EPA looked at generally for disposal of the waste at the Northeast Turchok mine site was no action, and obviously we would never select that because, like Edith said, we need to address this site and we need to address it as soon as possible, and that wouldn't be protective of public health and the environment. The options that would be protective of health and the environment and that we could implement are to cap the waste in place. So leave it at the mine site on the Navajo Tribal Trust land, or to take it to the UNC mill site. But if the license is rejected, we don't have that option anymore. And then the other alternative was to take it to a far away licensed repository that exists already. And so the problem is, in some ways, we're lucky that there is the mill site nearby where we can move the waste off the mine site. EPA has something we call a presumptive remedy. So in general, when you have a mine site, it's assumed, it's presumed that you would cap that waste in place. And so in this situation, we have a mill site next door that's a licensed facility that will be overseen forever by the federal government. So there's the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's a mill site under UMTRCA. They're going to look at it. They're looking at a 1,000-year time frame. Is this going to be safe for the next 1,000 years that they're going to oversee it? And then it's also a national priority list mill site for EPA Region 6. So they're going to oversee it. The EPA will oversee that site going on into the future. And so we have a site that exists that's licensed. It's a licensed existing repository for the mill tailings that's there now that the federal government will oversee in the long term. If the license is denied, that's not an option anymore. So what we would have to do is start over and go to the drawing board. And we have we know that we can put a permanent cover on the mine waste where it is now, and that would be protective and implementable. And when you compare the cost to that of taking it to a far away repository, then that would be the alternative we would need to select, because it would be a lot less costly and it would meet our three criteria of protective, implementable, and implementability and cost. The time frame is that we would hope that we would be able to identify another alternative. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to identify an alternative to date. But we would consider that. So we would be looking again at alternatives. We would hope that we would find another alternative besides cap in place. But a likely outcome, if we wanted to move quickly, would be to the available alternative we know that would meet our criteria is to cap the waste in place on the Navajo Tribal Trust land. And so once we would, again, go out with an engineering evaluation cost analysis, we'd have to prepare that, all the analysis of alternatives, and then we would put that out for public comment, and then we would make a decision, our action memo for the site, and then we would go through the design process, which we went through already with this alternative. We're looking to go to the UNC mill site. And then we'd have to start construction. So maybe 10 years is too long of an estimate, but I know that we have made shorter estimates for the current process, and people have always been disappointed that we have to keep extending our timeline. So we tried to pick a realistic timeline that we could implement this project in. Are there any questions about that?
There are no questions in queue at this time. Again, if you have a public comment, please press star one. We have a public comment from Joan Brown.
This is Marlene Parrott. My question is, there will be some of the mine waste going off the site. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how much or what percentage of the waste will be moved off site?
Sarah, can you answer that question?
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing this up. So
There is the highest concentration waste that Ashley mentioned, above 200 picocuries per gram of radium. That there's a less than about 5% of the waste of the 1 million cubic yards. So it's about in the order of magnitude about 30,000 to 35,000 cubic yards has been identified.
And where will that go and how will it be transported?
Right. So that would go to a licensed disposal or reprocessing facility, and it would be transported by truck. And the exact location has not been determined. It would be determined at the time of construction, depending on which facilities were available and for disposal at that time.
And since there is going to be removal off-site, what is really holding back removing all of the mine waste which the community wants? And since they've already been subject to environmental injustice.
So the 1 million cubic yards of mine waste, you're asking why can't that entire volume be taken off-site to a faraway licensed facility?
Yes.
We evaluated that alternative, and in addition to being about seven times greater in cost, it also would take 9 years for the facility we evaluated, and it would also take many millions of miles of truck traffic, resulting in traffic fatalities. So it's also not a perfect answer, but we can't choose it because of the cost criteria.
Thank you.
Ma'am, did you have any further questions or comments?
There are no questions in queue at this time. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1. We have another public comment from Joan Brown.
Yes, thank you. So it seems like that this mining and waste have created a, untenable situation of environmental justice, of degradation. And so another question that I have is these same communities in the region continue to be concerned about future uranium mining and waste because periodically there are companies that say they want to do this. It seems like this should be stopped, period, and there should be no conversation about anything like this in the future and not put communities through the energy and the resources to have to continually fight this if it creates such dire situations that are unjust. So is that something that you're looking at also?
Do we have someone to address the question? Or are we going to take this as a comment?
Thank you for that comment.
And Joanna, I wanted to check in to see if there's anything that we think we should translate in real time. I know we've had a decent amount of Q&A and discussion here, but if there's anything that we can translate or provide.
If there's anyone on the line that would like something translated, please speak up and get in the queue to provide that comment. Thank you.
I can translate if there is anybody that needs translation.
Very good. So again, if somebody would like to have something translated, star one.
Sanahat Hahoton Nekoe, ya Nikibesh Behane, aided Sotna lost a snaz, so he taught a sharp set of dolches.
We have a public comment from Susan Gordon. Your line is open.
Thank you. So I want to start by saying that this format for a public hearing is really not working. I'm Susan Gordon. I'm with the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment. And we worked hard to get people on this Zoom webinar, this WebEx webinar tonight, and the audio is not working. It's not working for any of us at any of the sites that we are calling in from. So that is a serious problem. It prevented us from even hearing the presentation as it started because we were busy trying to figure out how to get on. We've all had to call in through the audio number and not through the WebEx. So I think that means that you should really start this whole public hearing over again because of the lack of accessibility. In addition to that, I have been pushing star one since you asked for people to ask questions. And, you know, like on my phone, like 20 times I've been pushing star one and not able to get through until this point. So my frustration level at this process and this format is extreme at this point. And you have to address it, NRC, because this is not working for the community. I also, in terms of my comments on this process, you know, it really sounds threatening to the community that if they don't accept this, then you're just going to leave it in place. You know, that's not okay. Using the phrase, sending it to a faraway place. How about looking at sending it to Blue Water? You know, there are places that it could go that it's not, you know, still in the community. It's intimidating. As Daryl was saying, you know, oh, it'll be there for 10 more years. And now you're saying, well, it'll be there forever. Because there isn't a cost-effective alternative. Well, the cost for this community has been immense. And EPA in this process has destroyed this community by moving people away. It's such an environmental injustice to have divided this community, to, you know, give them houses in various, you know, conditions. Some people moved, you know, one elder moved into a house that was infested with rats. Like, what is that about? This process is completely unacceptable. The only acceptable alternative that has to be considered is moving the pile away from the community, not half a mile down the road, moving it away, and bringing restorative justice to the Redwater Pond Road community. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ashley. I just want to clarify something that might not be clear to folks, but the audio is only through the phone line. So you cannot use the WebEx to access the audio. That is it's designed that way so that we can get people in the queue to collect their comments. So I just want to clarify that point for everyone. And if people are still having issues, please reach out, and we'll try to get you connected. Thanks.
Operator, do we have anyone else on the queue at this time?
There are no calls on the line right now. Again, if you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1.
We'll go ahead and take a nice long pause.
Edith Hood, your line is open.
This is Larry King. We're both on the same line. I was the one that pressed the star 1. This is Larry King again. How was that 5% determined out of that million cubic yards of mine waste that was determined to be a high grade? And what about if there's more? How is that 5% determined and only that much? But once you start digging, I've worked there for 8 years too at the mine as an underground worker, and I've made trips back there when the mine was in operation. There are tons of piles and piles. And what if there's more than 5% that turns out to be high-grade ore? And others, that's not the only. Why can't EPA collaborate with other abandoned mine areas, just like Susan mentioned the Blue Water, Barrick Gold home, or Homestake, I can't remember, the tailings pond that are still sitting there looming above the village there. And there's also one other mine waste, that abandoned mine waste, that's still in Redwater Pond, the Kermigee, within a few hundred feet to the north. Once that is going to be addressed, why can't EPA get together with all these abandoned mines with mine waste still looming on the surface and come up with a better strategy? And set up a repository somewhere off reservation. I'm sure there's a place somewhere that can accommodate all the mine waste in this region. And like I said before, I feel like that Redwater Pond is just a community is being backed up into a corner. If you don't, if this amendment is not approved, then you probably need to wait another 10. Why 10 years? Why, if it's not approved, why can't you start on start all over with the EIS? The very next day, the very next month, or within a couple of months down the road. Why 10 years? That's not right. Thank you.
I believe Sarah Jacobs from the EPA wanted a little bit of time to kind of respond to a bit of that. Sarah, are you with us?
Yes, hi. Thank you, Larry King. I wanted to respond, I think, the first part of your question regarding principal threat waste. And so that is a term we use for the highest concentration waste on the site. And so during the investigations, they found certain areas that had the highest concentration. So some of those areas were like in the ponds that they had there, the settlement ponds. And so when they were investigating the site, there were certain areas that had higher these highest levels of concentration. And so they know where in the waste piles or in the pond areas that they expect to find this highest concentration waste. And so they're going to go excavate that and separate it for the offsite disposal.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay. And thank you, Larry, for your comments. Go ahead, Lance.
No, okay. I was just going to do the same thing. Do we have any other folks in the queue right now, operator?
Yes. Terry Kiana, your line is open.
Are you there?
Hear me? Hello?
Yeah, hello. We can hear you.
Okay, I've been trying to do the same thing as Susan, but it just wasn't going through for some reason. So I'm also from the community. I've lived there all my life, and I moved out of the community about 4 years ago. And, you know, it had mostly all its downs, but we tried to make the best of it. And, you know, having my family and my community having to deal with this whole situation basically all their lives is, it's not fair. I mean, somebody somewhere with all these decision makers and all this Environmental Protection Agency, everything like that, they had to have known for a very long time where these different mining industries were at. You know, it's not like saying, oh, we didn't know. It's like me saying, oh, you know, I have black hair. I didn't know that. I have this hair all my life, and yet I can just say, oh, I didn't know I had black hair. That's not... You can't just do that. That's like just covering your eyes and saying, well, nobody knows. And, you know, it brings up that whole thing of environmental racism. And it's just been too long unrecognized. There's no reason for somebody to just keep turning that blind eye for so long. Why did my family have to endure this for so long? It's, you know, it really does feel like we're just being pushed into a corner and told, you know, you took what you have and, you know, that's all you get. I mean, if somebody decides that they're not going to move out of the community, the EPA has already stated that they will not help them either by winterizing their home or anything like that. It's just basically just, you know, leaving somebody out in the cold, left to die. You know, we're a community, and we've been pulled apart. Some of us have been pulled away because we have children, and we've made that decision. It was a hard decision. Let me tell you that. It was very difficult for me to move away from home. And so with my family members who are still in the community, still, you know, just they're making their stand, and for the EPA to just say, you know what, that's your choice. It just feels like, you know, I'm usually not one to cuss, but it just feels like the EPA just, you know, just saying big fuck you to those people that are just at home where they belong, where they know that they belong. And, you know, over and over again, people keep mentioning safety and, you know, talking to the community and saying what the community wants. In the very beginning, the EPA told us, what do you want? Show us a wish list. And then all down that damn wish list, it was no, 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 no. And, you know, it's exactly what it is right now. It's environmental racism. If this happens in a Anglo community, that shit would have been cleaned up in no time at all. You know, this environmental racism is very real. It's not just make-believe. It's not just one of your bedtime stories that you would tell your kids, like, yeah, we don't really listen to the Native Americans. You know, that's how it feels. I'm sure a lot of you guys have a heart. I'm sure a lot of you guys have a conscience. I'm sure a lot of you guys have, you know, regret, things like that. But, you know, for our community, we just have that. I wish it could have been different. And it never changes. Every time we try to bring up a solution or an idea, it's just pushed down. And we're not given a chance to say anything. We're not given a chance to speak out and really look at the different things that we could accomplish. I mean, there's different colleges that are willing to try to help, and they're doing that on their own, and yet they're, you know, the government is the one that just keeps saying no, no, no. You know, there's been treaties that have already been just trampled on. You guys are talking about, you know, making sure that our historical and cultural impacts are low. You guys already trampled over that whole thing long ago. And it's, you know, it feels like it's just a joke that now it's something that's looked at, because all my life it hasn't been looked at. There was nobody looking out for the indigenous communities, and for so long, you know, my whole generation might be at danger because of the places that we played at, because there was no fencing. There was nothing. And so now I was given an opportunity to get my children away from that area, and so I took it. And because I took that, it's, you know, it seems like there is that division in our family, and I try not to let it get to me. I try not to be that person. I try to rise above it, and I try to keep my home open to the community so that we can utilize my internet connection. We can utilize this area for keeping ourselves in this loophole, because for so long, the community has been left out. I didn't even know that the EPA was meeting with Ben Shelley. You know, I want to know who was there. A lot of the times you guys are stating that the community was involved, the community was there, and yet I didn't even know that the EPA was meeting with the Navajo Nation president and making decisions in our behalf without even giving us an opportunity to say anything. And so this is, you know, it just, we're not children, and a lot of us have dealt with things like this since we were children, and so it's, we're not uneducated. We're masters in this whole thing right now, and it's not fair that people keep trying to talk above us, and yet, you know, we come to that point where we start learning how to just adapt. And so we want that off-site removal. It needs to be done. We need to have our communities looked after when it comes to their medical, you know, their health, because this is long. It's just been too long. And so I appreciate you guys giving me this time, but just understand that it really feels unfair to the community. No matter what you want to say, how you want to twist it, it's been too long. Another 10 years, another 5 years, this has already been too long. And so the community has been already verbalizing that they wanted off-site removal. I don't know why. Nobody wants to listen to that. So please just listen. now. Figure it out. So many times people make all these different changes to laws to, you know, benefit themselves. You know, it's not impossible. So please listen to the community. They've been dealing with this for too long. Other indigenous communities have been dealing with this for too long. It's not right. And so please just listen. It's not fair. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Operator, do we have anyone else in the queue again? It's star one if you would like a chance. And again, you can also hit star one if you would like something translated.
There are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, again, we'll go ahead and pause for some time to give folks a chance. Operator, any takers?
No questions in queue at this time. Again, if you'd like to make a public comment, please press star one and record your name clearly. Vivian Craig, your line is open.
Thank you. You know, it's really heartbreaking that in this public comment period that another 10-year timeline has come up. I can feel the pain for the community, Redwater Pond. There also is another community, which is the Pipeline Canyon people that share the same road with the Redwater community to get back to their homes, leaving their homes in the morning, returning at home in the evening. The effect that it will have on the additional community, on traffic, the delays of getting to work, telling your boss you had to wait for a truck, hauling waste across the road, and being late, or probably even being reprimanded for being late or losing your job. These communities need to be heard, both of them. Redwater Pond and Pipeline Community. I work for Navajo EPA Superfund. You do not know, NRC does not know the hurdles we go through to accommodate our Redwater Pond families and trying to get home sites and trying to get right-of-ways and trying to get easements for them to apply for the voluntary alternative housing. And it's a lot of work. We have people on the voluntary alternative housing who are dedicated, in trying to move everything forward, to make the families feel comfortable in moving from their homeland, where they were born, where they're where they were just raised. Now there's fences that are keeping them away from the site that they have known to roam. Yes, this is very emotional for me, but, you know, I'm there for the community to help them. Everybody needs just to come together and listen to the community, especially for the Redwater Pond community. We have the Gallup utilities to work with. We have NTUA to work with. We have Navajo Land Department to work with. We have BIA to work with. We have Fish and Wildlife. We have Navajo Historic Preservation. I mean, we just have hurdle after hurdles to try to make our family members of Redwater Pond comfortable in moving to another site that they were raised. And I'm glad I'm there to help my people move. I mean, even though they don't want to move. But I really, really, really think that US EPA Region 9 needs to involve the pipeline community as well, because as stated before, we have Corvera Mine, which is just right there. So just my comment. Thank you. I have a lot more to say, but my time is limited. Thank you.
And thank you. Hey, Joanna, could you come on one more time and in Dene, let folks know that if they need something translated, they can hit star one.
Yes, I can do that. Dad, I know Sagi Heda Nahatha, the neck Eshugo Nahatha, what on Neto Nigo. Ya Ishan, the Hibeshbechane, the Dahui Yaste. No, Stadrugo. Back to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Operator, anyone else in the queue?
We have a person in queue. I do need to reach out to them to get their name. One moment, please.
Okay, we'll pause.
This is Leanna Silversmith. I work with Navajo EPA Superfund. I'd like to say that I really don't think that the community from Washington, D.C., San Francisco, in terms of NRC and US EPA, will truly ever understand where Navajo people are coming from when they say home. Our home is the Navajo Nation. Our home is where we grew up in terms of the Redwater Pond community. That's where their ancestral hood is from. The other day, I was in a meeting, and somebody from Redwater Pond had indicated their granddaughter is going to have a Kenalda. And Navajo Kenalda is a puberty ceremony. It's a major event for a young woman's womanhood. And communities come together, families. There's a celebration and a ceremony that takes place. And this grandmother doesn't have a home to prepare the ceremony for her granddaughter. And that hits home. That hits the heart to a lot of us. And it was sad to hear that in a meeting and to realize that they'll never be able to call Redwater Pond a home again due to the fact of the uranium waste that is there. So that comes to light with the draft EIS. The selection for the repository is highly questionable. Why was it chosen next to an arroyo? Why was the 100-year flood plain not included in the DEIS? The 50-year was, but not within the map. Water meanders, it thinks on its own. Eventually, that 1 million tons of waste may end up like Gold King Mine. The DEIS indicates that there's studies from 1996 about the existing UNC mill tailings. But what about the present day? Where's the studies on that? What's the condition of the existing UNC mill center? Sarah Jacobs mentions the safety of the people. Why is the DEIS have no information about studies that have been done on the Navajo people that lived in that area, their health impacts, what they had to endure? There's an ATSDR in the US EPA building, but their studies aren't included in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, do we have anyone else in the queue at this time?
There are no comments in queue at the moment. Again, if you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1.
Okay, and again, we'll pause. Operator, any takers? Operator, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. There are no public comments in queue at this time.
Okay. We'll pause a little longer. We want to make sure that folks have a chance to speak if they wish to. While we're go ahead and wait, Kelly, could you bring up the slide that lets folks know how to provide their comments in different ways? Thank you.
We have a public comment.
Please.
Darlene, your line is open.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please.
Yes, this is Darlene. I work with Navajo Superfund. I guess in general, I just have a question. That being, why do we even have the two options, the two extremes? One being that the waste could be all hauled away somewhere, and the other one being that it could just stay as is. I think it's misleading to all of us, especially the community members, to even talk about the two options when they're not really an option at all. And the idea of hauling it all away, we know it's a financial issue. And why can't that just be brought up? You know, we're people too, you know, the natives. I just don't understand that. If we're really talking about the middle ground of the two options, why don't we just discuss that rather than talking about the two extreme when those two aren't really realistic for any of us, especially the people that live in the community. And like Vivian Craig said, we need to include all the community members around there. You know, we got the pipeline community members, and then we have the folks that live downstream into Church Rock. So I think those folks need to be included too, because, you know, if there was to ever have a dam break or whatever, you know, natural disaster, that's where it's going to flow. If the waste is to be put right back the same spot as where it was in the 1979 flood. Those are just my thoughts, my question and thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Our next comment comes from Lori Williams.
Lori, are you
Should
with
I
us?
Go? Yes, I am. So my name is Lori Williams. I'm an attorney with USEPA, and I have been listening in, but I hadn't prepared anything to say. But I just want to join Sarah Jacobs in thanking people for attending and caring and trying to communicate with the agencies. And I do want to say that I feel very moved by everything that everyone has said, and I feel badly that I think it is so difficult for people to understand the decision that's been made, except as seeing it as environmental racism. You know, as somebody who comes from a family where racism, you know, has been a you know, I am not Native American, but my family has been subject to a lot of racism in the past. You know, I understand that that is a horribly painful way to feel, and to feel that the people at the agencies are not, you know, fully considering that is a painful fact. But I do want to say that, you know, in terms of the issue of whether people would get to return home to Redwater Pond Road, if the proposed action is, if the license amendment is granted and the remedy goes forward, that the 125 acres where the waste is now would be removed. And I think, as Sarah said earlier, just to make sure people understand, the area would be restored to unrestricted use. People could use it for their traditional activities on the Navajo Nation. The UNC Mill, while it's very close by, is on outside the Navajo Nation, and I think there's, you know, a couple of big reasons that it was selected over leaving the waste in place and capping it in waste, as EPA often does, and that includes the fact that it was combining two areas so that there'd be a smaller footprint of the waste, and the strong preference of the Navajo Nation to have the waste removed from that community. I do feel that both of those were important factors in the decision. And, you know, I understand that people have not been convinced that the disposal at, you know, the creation of the engineered repository at the UNC Mill would be safe, would be protective. And that is the standard that the agencies are using and that the engineers are trying to meet and, you know, give an opinion about whether that standard has been met. And certainly any new information that people are providing about things they feel have not been taken into account will be, you know, seriously considered. That is a big part of the public process that we're currently engaged in. But, yeah, but the decision not to send the waste further away, as Sarah said, was based on the CERCLA criteria, and those are the limitations that Congress has set within the law. So, you know, I'm just making this statement in order to hopefully help people understand, you know, the criteria, what the outcome would be in terms of the 125 acres, most of which is on the Navajo Nation, that would be cleaned up, and that people also understand that the people currently working for the agencies do care about all that you have to say. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, do we have anyone else in the queue at this moment?
There are no one in the queue at the moment. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1. Vivian Craig, your line is open.
Thank you. I just have one more additional comment. I would like to know if we have a response or a comment or any type of statement from our Navajo Nation president regarding where the waste is going to go from the mine site to the mill site, which is only less than a quarter of a mile away. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ashley Waldron. We have received a letter from the Navajo Nation giving their comments on the draft EIS, and that's publicly available in our agency-wide document system. and we are considering their comments, and we'll be replying to their comments.
And that will it be a public response, Ashley, correct?
Yes, it will.
Okay, just want to make sure. Operator, anyone else in the queue at this time?
There are no public comments in the queue at the moment. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star one.
All right, Joanna, I hate to hit you up for this again, but would you mind letting folks know that they can request a translation?
There you are. Back to you.
Thank you so much for your efforts tonight.
You're welcome.
We have a public comment from Dolores Livingston. Your line is open.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
There's one thing you talk about, all that topsoil waste, and I wonder where it came from. It came from underground, and we've been living on Mother Earth on top. So there's a lot of contamination in that land already. That's why the people came in, they mined that there. And the people that lived there, they didn't know that. So I don't know. I know there's miles and miles of tunnels underneath. So I was wondering where all that waste came from. It's underneath where they live. I think that whole place is contaminated. It was already contaminated before even the mine company started going in and taking that whatever they took out. That's my comment. Thank you.
Hello? Thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, operator, any other folks in the queue at this point?
There are no public comments in queue at this time.
Okay, we'll do our usual pause.
Edith Hood, your line is open.
This is Bertha Nance, and I was wondering if you don't know where or how to do about this uranium pile, why don't you just put it back where it came from, back into Mother Earth, where it was before and where it belongs. So that's what I was thinking. Another thing is people moving from their home site. If this going to take longer for 10 years, why are we moving? Why didn't they say until it's ready to be worked on, to be removed? So right now we're just we're not very sure what to do sometimes. So if it was you living there, what would you do? So moving people around, and you don't know how long it's going to take, or if it's not certain how the loss is going to be, where are you moving people? That's all I have to say.
Okay, we appreciate your comments.
Our next comment comes from Lori Williams.
So I was just thinking there are a few points that have been brought up that perhaps Sarah Jacobs, as the EPA project manager, could address that I haven't heard a response to. And one is the question of what was the condition of the Redwater Pond Road community soil before mining? What do we know about that? Why do we think another spill like happened in 1979 would not happen if the mine waste is placed at the mill? And then this last question about why did we begin moving the community before the final decision had been made to go forward with this remedy of putting the mine waste at the mill? So just wondering, Sarah, perhaps you could briefly describe the answers to those three questions.
Ashley, is that
Sarah? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we can hear you, Sarah.
Okay. So I'll try to hit all three topics. I think somebody called in and said that the community was already contaminated before mining because of the existence of the ore body that was already there of uranium, and I just wanted to let everybody know there are some areas where there's surface expressions of ore and there is highly radioactive material at the surface, but this is not one of those areas. The ore body is many hundred, over 1,000 feet below the ground surface. It's very deep, and it's an underground mine. And so the contamination that is existing at this site is all from the mining activities. There was not contamination before the mining. So that's one point I think that Lori was talking about for me to clarify. There's another comment. Somebody was concerned, I think it might have been Leanna, about the technical information that we had and making sure that the environmental impact statement accurately characterized all of that. And I just wanted to respond that so the way that the ultimate site, the mill site, will go forward is that when all cleanup activities are finished, it would be, the license would be terminated and would go to the Department of Energy. And the Department of Energy would be the one maintaining the site in the long term under UMTRCA. And so the Department of Energy has been involved all along. In fact, on the design team, we had a big group. We had representatives from EPA Region 6 and Region 9. These are engineers and scientists. We had representatives from the New Mexico Environmental Department, from the Navajo Nation Environmental Protection Agency, and from the Department of Energy, and also actually Teresita, who spoke so eloquently earlier, participated on the design team. The Redwater Pond Road Community Association appointed her. But all of these questions about whether this could be done safely and how to design it so it can be safe for 1,000 years and into the future were addressed by this team. And the Department of Energy said, we don't want you to even think about designing this without having information about what is there today. What is the state of the tailings impoundment today? Where is the groundwater underneath? What is the state of the tailings? How much water is in there? What are the geotechnical properties? How strong are they to support the weight? What is the state of the cover? They wanted all that information. And so the United Nuclear Corporation, a subsidiary of General Electric, they drilled into and through the tailings and into the ground below, all the way down to the groundwater table to look at what exactly is the state of it and could we do all of this safely and create a safe design. And so we called those the pre-design studies, and they are available. We have all of our design documents on our EPA website, and I just wanted to, I think the question Lori brought up is, could there be another 79 spill, a catastrophic event such as that? And so when the 79 spill occurred, that was during milling operations. So the mill was an active mill at that time, and there were millions of gallons of tailings ponds, liquid tailings behind dams, and one of the dams broke, and that liquid, 94 million gallons, I think Ashley said, went down the pipeline Arroyo and into the Huerco River and down into the past Gallup and Sanders and into the Little Colorado. But now we have a very different situation. The milling is not currently happening. The mill has been closed. The tailings have been covered. The liquids drained out of them. So it's not a situation where there's liquid there anymore. So it's a different situation now with the closed mill site than we had the situation of an operating mill during the 79 spill. So there's no chance of another spill like that happening at the site. Let's see. The other question was about moving. So we made this decision, and it's a voluntary housing. So we only have offered, the reason we have offered housing is because we expect this project that we selected, EPA made the decision in 2011 to take 4 years to construct. And so we knew that for the people who live right at the foot of the waste pile, that would be a long time to live right by a mine site with all that noise and construction and traffic. And then right across the valley is the Quivira mine site, which we also need to clean up to protect public health and the environment in the long term. So both sites are protected in the short term. We remove the contamination in the residential area, over 200,000 tons of contaminated material out of the residential neighborhood so that it would be safe for the people living there now. And we regraded the pile and covered it with clean soil and revegetated it so that it would be safe in the short term, so people would be safe now. So both the Quivira and the Northeast Church Rock piles are covered, but we know that we have a lot of work to do in that area. And like Vivian said, if community members want to move, have the option to move, it's voluntary. They can request to move and move to a different location on the Navajo Nation. That takes a lot of time. It's a very complex process, and that's what Vivian was talking about when she was describing that process and all of the work that takes. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot of time to implement. And so that's why we need a big lead time to be able to provide housing for people away from Redwar Pond Road while the construction happens. Now, people, once the construction's completed, if they want, they can move back because the work will be done and the site will be free for residential use, traditional uses. So people can move back if that's what they choose to do. So that's why we, because of that long lead time and because the possibility of continuing with this action, which we think construction would start as early as 2023, that's why we offered the alternative housing now. And not everybody has chosen to move, but some people have. So hopefully, I think I answered the questions that Lori had asked me to, and that the community members and others have called in and asked.
Thank you for that. Operator, do we have anyone in the queue at this time? Operator, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. We have Leanna Silversmith in queue.
Okay.
Hi again. This is Leanna. In terms of the breach happening, I wasn't referencing like that the mine is active. Bulking mine was not active. Those were cells that were holding those mine waste up there. And the soil here in the area may have gone through testing and such, but it's questionable who actually did the science on that and has actually lived in the area. A lot of these areas within water, like I said, water sinks on its own. It meanders the soil. The soil scours, the soil moves, it erodes, there's wind erosion, there's scouring that happens. The context of the draft EIS doesn't indicate or inform the public that's reading this of a 50-year flood event, of a 100-year flood event that can happen. That's within a 1,000-year time frame that you guys are granting this permit. And then you indicate that there's much research and there's much time that takes precedence for these homes, voluntary housing, to be established for the Navajo communities. But yet, we're going to be responded to with our comments within a month. Is it even going to be taken into account, the public's comments, or is the decision already made? You say that you're going to get it. And then in a month, in December 2021, you'll have a response to comments. And then January 2022, there's going to be a response as far as designating if there's a yay or a nay vote on the permit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Operator, let's go ahead and get through the folks that we have in the queue at this time. And then we'll move to close. So please go to the next person in the queue.
Edith Hood, your line is open.
Good evening again. I would like to talk about someone saying that the land was already contaminated. Well, not according to me, because I was raised there. I heard sheep across the land, and it was very clean. We had cornfields. We had herbs that were clean that were used by the medicine people. We used sandstone and rocks that to make the beautiful rugs that the Navajo women make. And also the medicine men took herbal plants from the ground, and they use that. So you cannot say and tell me that it was already contaminated.
It was contaminated when the mining industry came in and released that monster called uranium. Said so. It affected the water, the soil, the air, and our very lives. And for anyone to say that, no, don't say that, because that is my home. That's why I'm still here. And I do what I can to speak for my home. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Operator, do we have anyone else in the queue?
Yes. Daniel Yazzie, your line is open.
Yat ehnana don lil. Do hut au shi znae. Daryl Yazzie, na dit non kudai hich kasti. Ashi adin lek etugun hich hate sahar shumma. Jo en mini guns. Oshi jo sha khadil me. Ako yat ehnana don lil chikin kini kahasi. Ba kehim sin. Ita sasotli aro ajota ta hosne. An sahindeitle an le Redwater Pond Road community kine kaho afunan hitishli. Ade ajosh ta hosne. Kat ahut ah na hos a. Joba ta hosne. Jota ta hosne. Sa do ajoy kita di tita an le re sa. Media says I'm thinking that it oh hitch and hot see K I G at the whole channel. So don't era. The end that is Nishib and Mesh at the whole channel. Never meet Lenny Aro, they need kid on the Ashmish. Aro, good love that see Lita and Nata. Ashian Lato, Washington, don't band that Nishib, D I A, and Yehida. Ik at he came back, he came back. Defense related uranium mining, but yeah, he trained all over here. We die as Yegon da Baho, Iban da Steho. Be pish, Kato Kosha, Ila bin Yep, Ila Bech, Yego, that the Tony. Great Ashing, oh yes, Great Ashing Joshi, I'd make at your atomic bombs are yahi. Aro Kunde Chirinda Pansi, El Bon. A chata that ahi. Adi be yet. Vanadium, yahi abyss kaha, hut a dail on. Abinina hut a hadag, hada a kidna. A kodish chida. I him hidden there. The last saw them long came last creek. The Aro Adin Kama Creda. Adi Hoodin Hinki Zadi Betahamas Nana so. Aro Hoodin Hiki Agidi Dahu did out. The Hitler's Ah Dajila. Wait out, do hut Arn Haban to the Kinsta. No Hodoli Hut Ahi Han Matzita. Even the Ghana than Lini. Era. He a KIG IC, this is the neat era. Which it's so the Zin. Then that, eh? Yego Bahas T.O. Deed Abba, oh, Jigian, and he no deed on that Sarah. Then he put me in there, Kidam. KIG IC, Yego Chong. Bada hosya nishimak eh. Inna khol yehi e aare bitsaado I khollo. Tko bitsaado ngazle. Ako hud aadon di sa ye nkha ye khat zita. No hud era. Di yandat ini draft EIS khol yehi. To aid that, I hate all hot ass sari be similar. Katkazanigi UNC repository on the AI Shana email tail Nizigi Bariana. Design and engineer when Yehi A. Hutta Badaja Ashin Bedasni Kaylin Ziggy Hait in there. Way up, I just say, Shaggy, the way out with Eda Sahota. Late up, Baho Sajina had no out of Iona Hinsta. Do AI see Sahot out all year? I don't know, Ila, so who yashi chana, Asia, to they to end the Bahaneta. Draft EIS, the Kaigi, so Edo, he could not Edo Bahadate. Hut ah, because Aniki do Joya the Hazneta. To the aid in Nadik a draft EIS with Yehi, great Aban Sida Kins. A hut Aba had a dotze. Do a hut ah beat a shatter seat clean. Kurhe, he didn't need all this at all. Chicada Makini. He called the aim, come that machine, been led on Jenny, Adash or Pag or Hunan, and Kayatas here, so. Aro Akurod, he has Anagi, the never washing the window. The lunch and Kata Satahi, Jonathan Nairs, the saw hut on us, so he has the lad, and cup. They she been much, I don't need error. They she been much, they need cut or Nashigo. A jogo ye da di no. Shake rosses nido e hut ah. E ha yashki orle. Eat ah da shido no. E do bike ahod orle. Ko I see ye gon trago shehe and he dimi dorle. Aro at the arm kahas ankat. May 27th. A band eight on. Sistahuil now, George, he make her. Is she the Nash go, they need cotton? Wait out, Otto, deep out. Sabe had a seat, see, cut. I'll his better husband, me. Otto and Kaya could use in the tea, the Lacano with yea. The deed obvious has our eight or hood air at all this. On the Shia 1 year though, they like that, a shell yard on it. When he got 60 years, go hold this. Ara Abinash Nana. So don't have a kid no cow. Only 10 years, Nana Dodley. He no, the best era. Aro oshin so the zini beda nit a nashu uni katra so mana. Ahehe. It's chago. Ahut anon hicha hasi dole. Goshinya. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I have Talia Boyd.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, Talia, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Thank you, relatives, everybody who has spoken this evening. I'd like to thank all my relatives from Redwater Pond Road and all my Dineh relatives who have spoken up this evening. My name is Talia Boyd. I reside in Gallup, New Mexico, but I have family that was in Church Rock, New Mexico. I appreciate everybody's wisdom and insight this evening. There's a lot of that I would like to echo. As far as the environmental impact statement, this is supposed to be the most rigorous, but oftentimes it's rushed and there's a lot of public comment that isn't included. My community here in Gallup especially, you know, there's a lot of people here that are impacted that don't have an opportunity to speak tonight or throughout this whole process, especially during a global pandemic. So I want to highlight that. And I want to highlight the fact that there is a deep mistrust from our Native communities working with governmental entities, and you can't blame us for that. There is environmental racism and environmental injustices that are still alive and well in our communities. You know, we get fed over and over again that this cleanup is going to get taken care of, but then you all come back and constantly expand those timelines. And so this is a part of the problem. Excuse me. Also, the two options of removing it completely and leaving it on site. Again, we need a pause on this, and we need to step back and have more public comment. We need to think of all other alternatives, the so-called science behind this. You know, why wasn't the 100-year floodplain considered? All of these things. Again, you know, there's a deep, deep concern of groundwater contamination. And I had a chance to tune into some of the KTNN radio listening sessions, and over again, groundwater contamination came up over and over again. And you all talk about putting it back to pre-mining conditions. That has never been done, especially with groundwater. That has never, ever been done. So how dare you all feed us that nonsense? We know it's nonsense. We've been living with this contamination for decades. We've been dying. Our people are dying. I live with the fear of someday getting cancer. I grew up near the Tuba City disposal site, every day passing a uranium mill. We moved to Church Rock, come to find out it's the largest site of a radioactive contamination in U.S. history. People don't know about this. It's infuriating. Yes, to this day, people don't know about it. So, you know, this whole thing about restoring it back to pre-mining conditions, we know that's bogus. We know it's never been done. The science is questionable. Oftentimes, the science that is done is paid for by the companies that are poisoning us, right? So these are all concerns, and they're very valid concerns. I want to express the fact, too, that we have a lot of cultural sacred landscapes within that area and surrounding it, and that has to be considered at all times. There's a balance that needs to be held with us Dinette people, and that's something that non-Native peoples will never understand, and that's what my relatives have been trying to highlight this evening. And so this goes back to our core values as Dinette people and our cultural identities. And so I just really want to appreciate everybody who spoke up this evening. There's a lot to say. There's a lot to talk about. Again, this process, it's not fair. It's never been fair, especially to us Native peoples. And so we need more authenticity. We need more transparency, and we need more accountability from all entities. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that. I believe we have one last person in the queue, and then I think we're going to move to close. Operator?
There's no questions in queue, comments in queue at this time.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and move to close then? Kevin, I think Kevin Kanye is, or Courtney is going to, sorry, I'm slaughtering your name, but it's late.
I'm sorry.
Are you going to close us? Oh, I'm sorry.
We do have two questions in queue at this time.
Okay, we'll take two more since they're in the queue, but we'll move to close then, please.
Okay. We have Alyssa Arviso.
Yes, that's me. Good evening, everyone. I think my comment from this whole thing, there's a lot of good comments made from our community here on Navajo, and I'm one person that lives over or has family over the hill to the north of the site, the mine site, but I've always used that road to go into Gallup. My father worked there at the mine, and he did end up with stomach cancer, which was the hardest thing to see someone waste away, your patriarch. But my comment is regarding the groundwater. You keep, it seems like in a lot of the documents, groundwater is just a big no, a big slap in the face. In all the documents I review, in the NECR draft EIS, it's not a part, I mean, a lot of the feedback I get is that it's not part of the consent decree or part of CERCLA. Every federal law put into this EIS or other EISs, it seems like it's made and designed in such a way so it best suits how and where the money is spent. And, you know, I keep getting the reasoning behind why groundwater is not studied. But that's not enough. It's not enough for our community. It's not enough for me personally, being a resident of the area in Coyote Canyon. I like to see more money in water studies here. How did the San Mateo water study get approved? How did it get approved? When you live on Navajo, deep in your heart, your soul, everything is connected. The animals, the insects, the earth, our stars, air, water, wind. Even there's so many things, living things that we hold in reverence and holiness. And there's so much respect every day that you wake up every morning. And it's up to you how you make that day and how you treat, you know, go out and breathe and walk on this earth. Do you walk on it softly? Yes, with respect and reverence. But, you know, all the options that are there, all I see is noise, and all I feel is that cut deep into the earth, that deep incision that was made years ago. And it's like being ripped open again. I just, I know groundwater. I understand it. I know that there's a lot of recharge. This Morris information, it's we have the Gallup Sag to the south of the area. It continues even over to the Nutria monocline, and it enters the Zuni uplift. And then to the north, we have the San Juan Basin, and we have the Pinedale monocline right there at the northern most part of that basin. And we know, I understand how groundwater flows. And right there at that Pinedale monocline, that's where all the Morrison is exposed. You drive in toward the NECR mine, the UNC mill site, all that area, Pinedale, and you pass through all those rocks. Then you get into the Manco Shale, and right then and there, that's where that Morrison Formation goes deep into the earth. This is how I think when I go to the place. This is my heart. This is my home. I go beyond science when I think about these things. And I really believe that the precipitation there was meant to be clean from the sky and enter, you know, these rocks where they're exposed as recharge. Now it's all a big soup of contamination. And like it was said earlier by Miss Talia Boyd, that now it's just, how are you going to clean it? There's nobody addressing it. Nobody wants to. It's a big, hard no from the federal government, and I'm tired of it. I think these issues need to be addressed. It needs to be addressed. And if you keep saying, well, they can't be because it's under CERCLA and under the CERCLA criteria, or that, you know, it's set by Congress. Well, let's make a way. When there's a will, there's a way. And I think there's some things that are not there, that, yeah, US EPA, federal government, they provide these guidances, but Where's the guidance on how to get that groundwater study done? Where's that time to put the money spent where it should be spent, in cleaning up the area, in cleaning up the groundwater? I think we spend too much time and money on things that this thing of moving the waste across the road. Nobody wants it across the road. They want it out of there. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for sharing that. Operator, do we have anyone else?
The queue is now closed. You are encouraged to send questions to the NRC.
So there's no one left in the queue?
Operator, I do see another person in the queue.
We do have. Yes, we do.
Okay. Can we have her?
Certainly. And Vivian Craig, your line is now open.
Vivian, are you there? Ms. Craig? Maybe she stepped away.
Okay, well, we do have Lori Williams. Your line is open.
Hi there. So I just wanted to respond on the one question about CERCLA addressing groundwater. And I do want to say that I don't want anyone to be confused about that. CERCLA does allow EPA to address groundwater, and that is a big part of what we do in the Superfund program. And the groundwater at the UNC mill site is one of the things that US EPA has been working on. So it's a complex topic, and I appreciate Elisa bringing it up. Thank you.
Okay, operator, I'm assuming the queue is clear.
We have Vivian Craig.
Yes.
She is there? Okay.
Yes, she is. Your line is open.
Ms. Craig, are you with us? Hello? Ms. Craig, are you there? Operator, we're sure her line is open?
We are sure her line is open, and now she did just leave the queue.
Okay.
Right now, I do not have anyone else in queue.
Okay. I think we'll go ahead and move to close then. Kevin, are you going to close us out tonight? Okay. If you would, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lance. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Your volume is very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. I want to thank everyone for taking time out of your evening to participate in this meeting, and particularly sharing your comments and perspectives and experiences. Obtaining your feedback is an essential part of our process, and we will give your input thorough consideration as we finalize the environmental impact statement. As we mentioned earlier, the public comment period will end on May 27th. I want to remind everyone that there are multiple ways to provide your comments. In addition to the comments we heard and recorded tonight, we have a dedicated voicemail line that has been established for this project. You can provide comments via the regulations.gov website on docket NRC 2019-0026. We accept comments through the U.S. mail, and you can also email comments to the dedicated project comment email address. You may also reach out to Ashley Waldron directly, whose contact information is in the meeting announcement on the NRC's webpage, for assistance or any questions you have. Thank you again for your participation this evening, and hope everyone has a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you, and that concludes today's conference. I want to thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.